We've all had fierce and formidable women in our lives who have shaped who we are now. The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is dedicated to celebrating women who have shaped the education landscape more than you can possibly imagine. Who better to host this conversation than Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson, two fierce and formidable women who have been driving innovation in the field of the education world for more than 30 years. Please welcome our hosts, Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson.
Welcome to episode number 39 of Tech and Learning's Honor Roll, a podcast that celebrates fierce and formidable women in education. I'm Keisha Ray.
And I'm Frances Gibson, and we're elated to have you join us in this podcast environment. And as expected, we have another fierce female joining us. You know, Silver McDonald is a legend among legends. I can't believe how many folks mention her in conversation with me. So let's learn a little bit more about Silver. Silver is a passionate believer in making a difference, something we all believe in here on this show. And she has been in the technology industry for over 25 years, with the last 20 years specifically focused on education, equity, and sustainability. Silver is currently the Vice President of Growth at Hazel Health. Woo, I can't wait to hear more about her story, Keisha.
Well, you're going to love it. She is indeed another outstanding Shiro in education and another one of our guests that's been one of my friends for a really long time. In fact, Frances, when I had Ella, Silver was one of the first people to hold. She held her within 8 weeks. So, yeah, I've got a phenomenal picture of them together. So it's one of my favorite pictures. You know, Silver, each week we explore models of leadership together from what our guests see in the mirror. In other words, reflections of themselves, mentors who impact themselves, who have impacted them, not who impact themselves. That would be terrible. And then considering the mirror and mentors, we turn to movements we should all be watching that inspire or ignite maverick moments. We call it our Honor Roll Pattern of M.
That's right, Keisha. And don't confuse that with those M&Ms sitting on your desk. I know we love our M's, but we also want to make sure that we catch any edubabble that we use. And to make sure that our listening community is really connecting with the language and the phrases and the thoughts that are being shared. And I caught one that I think we should explore a little bit more when introducing our guest. And that is, we use the word equity so often. So Silver, jump on in to this podcast with us and welcome. What should we know about equity in your space?
Thank you so much. I think there are many ways to look at equity. And there's definitely the viewpoint that equity is ensuring everyone has what they need rather than everyone having the same. I like to look at it from my current perspective of equity and access, ensuring that all children can have access to physical and mental health care in the way that meets their specific needs and also addresses the social determinants of health that are in their community, whether it's transportation or other. Another example could be at LEGO Education. We were really focused on equity from the perspective of children who normally wouldn't have access to a brand and the hands-on experiences of LEGO, and ensuring that those children were prioritized and being able to have those experiences through school.
You've done that your whole career, actually. So I feel like equity with you is all in caps.
I like that.
It is the essence of who Silver is, actually.
Oh, Keisha, that's so nice. Thank you.
Well, it's the truth. All right, my friend, let's get going with these M's. So who might your role models be and why?
I thought about this question from a few different perspectives. And I think there are role models like across industries and interests and various types of impact. A few that came to the forefront for me. One, Michelle Obama, because of her incredible grace. And I personally saw my goddaughter, who's a beautiful child of color. They were so inspired to see the White House and see a family of color in the White House and just being super inclusive of the community and the nation as a whole. And so I felt like it also helped to inspire a different trajectory for what people, individuals can achieve. So she is one of the folks that come to mind in terms of a role model. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg is another one in terms of breaking ceilings, being a huge advocate for women's rights and gender equity, and being one of the first Jewish woman on the Supreme Court, among many other things.
Yeah, we are big Ruth fans here, as you know. And as we think about, you know, these role models, there's also those folks who are really close to us as mentors as well. And so I'm curious to think about the space that you've been in with who's been in your circle, who has really guided you, supported you, really been an advocate for you as a leader.
It's a good question, and it's another one I was reflecting on. And so one of my mentors is absolutely Dr. Keisha Ray, who's sitting right there.
Oh, boy.
And yes. And I was a big fangirl when she was the president of ISTE, and we became really good friends throughout, and I just feel really honored. And she's someone that I go to regularly for great conversation and advice and insight. And another one is someone who you just had on the show, but Miss Kathy Hurley. And I often say all roads lead to Kathy Hurley. And I met her when I was at Pearson. They had acquired a company that I was previously with. And so I was the SVP for our largest accounts across the country. And everyone kept saying, you have to meet Kathy Hurley. And it turned out that my new role was her previous role. And so we just immediately bonded. And everything I'd been putting together was everything she had already done. And she showed me what worked and what didn't. And so Kathy's someone that is another person that has given me a lot of mentorship, and I also consider a great friend, and I've known for many years and go to regularly for great collaboration and insight and advice.
So Silver, Keisha is beaming, as you put her in that same conversation and also with her Shiro, Kathy, and I'm wondering, like, what are some of the examples of the types of things they did with you as a mentor? As we think about the space and our listeners, like, what should they be looking for?
Absolutely. A great example with Kathy Hurley is when I was interviewing with LEGO Education. And I had primarily been a startup girl. I'd been with Pearson for a couple of years when they acquired us. And LEGO Education approached me. And I was like, Kathy, I don't know if I can do this. Like, it's a huge job. It's on the global leadership team. You're in Denmark all the time. And it was a full GM or head of the U.S. And she was like, men always say that they can do things that they are not ready for. She's like, you're going to figure it out. You're going to say yes. You're going to go in there and you're going to knock it out of the park. And so I took her advice. I jumped in. It was very natural, and I don't want to say easy, but it was a, her advice worked, and it was much easier to step into than I thought it would be. And it ended up being a really, really great experience. So I appreciated that for sure. With Keisha, oh my God, there's so many things with Keisha. Keisha has also been a really good mentor on the personal side and prioritizing that, as well as just even when I was working with different, you know, districts and clients across the country, she would have really good insights about what would resonate or how to manage some of the, not that there's ever district politics, but how to manage through some of the,
never.
Yeah. So many things. And so, yeah, she's just been a great mentor in so many ways as well.
Well, I love you. Well, you know, I think I can remember when we met as she was the boss of someone that I was working with, was one of her former companies. And I was kind of having a fit. And so he was like, you're going to have to come in and talk to this lady because she's, and I was having a fit because the company had been acquired. So I was like, whoa, Ethel, and I can remember meeting Silver and just knowing when I met you that you would take care of it, that, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about anything. We had spent all this money. And even though the company is suddenly been acquired, I just didn't have any worry that, you know, that our investment would go awry. And they still use it today, by the way. So
oh, that's amazing. Impressive. I didn't know
yeah,
that.
I know, right? So that tells me, or told me then, and it's something I definitely know today, that you are just a natural leader. But I'm wondering, like, at what point did you realize you were a leader?
You know, I kind of feel like I always was from my very first role. It came at different points. I think that I was kind of self-identified. I kind of became a natural leader within a startup that was a very small company when I joined. It was my first job out of college, called Razorfish. And within 6 years, we grew from like six, from a handful of people to over 2,000 people, global, big IPO, all late 90s. And I kind of naturally kept, as new people joined the company with how quickly we were growing, I kind of naturally took the role of making sure people were included in the company, making sure that we had a strong culture for growth and a lot of, like, really strong interpersonal relationships. and because we're starting all these other new organizations, you know, nationally or companies globally, was part of the team that was identified to help make sure that we were collaborating across all of these global locations as well. And so it was a really great learning experience early on. And I think another time when I saw that was when Pearson did acquire us, I was one of the only like senior women, female sales leaders. And so when you're on stage and it's like you and a few thousand people in the audience, that was an interesting time too. And I've also always been lucky with like building really, really good, strong teams. And so you get a lot of feedback around that. And when people want to follow you to different companies, I think that speaks to being a good leader. And I also always want to take care of people, whether it's previous customers that I worked with or old teammates who have gone on to other things. I always want to help them get wherever they want to go in their careers. And I'm more than happy to help them with that networking or open any doors that I can.
That value and purpose-driven work that you're doing, it's no wonder that folks do want to follow you and be part of this team.
Thank you.
I could definitely see that. And I love the power of how you're so inclusive. And one of the things that we're really mindful of is that there are inclusive mindsets that we have. And one of them is really thinking about how we empower other women. And so we're curious also to know from your mindset, you've mentioned some iconic fierce females already. How do you see women changing the world? And of course, you included.
I think there are so many ways in which women are changing the world. A great example is actually Pia, whose office I'm calling from right now with LA Unified. She invited me recently to a gathering from a number of people across LA. So it was everything from Department of Family Services, Chief of Police, people very vested in foster care, people all completely focused on making the world a better place for the children who have the biggest challenges and bringing huge networks together. So I'm excited to see where this goes in LA specifically. But I feel like on a global basis, we're seeing women take strong leadership positions, go against the grain of how things have previously been managed, really network with each other and bring out the best of each other, but also be all in to help each other. And I think even of my own network in the education space, and I feel like I could pick up the phone and call anyone and they could do the same, but we will all make sure that that person is successful because it betters all of us.
I love that. You're really lifting up some really precise local and global examples. I, too, am a big fan of how our connected friend Pia brings folks together around our common purpose. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've learned from her, and I'm looking forward to learning from you, is that as these strong women that we are, it's also really hard to take care of ourselves. And I know my colleagues in that same network are like, what is your self-care? What are you doing to take care of yourself? So I'm curious, as you think about, you know, this strength, how do you also replenish and engage in that self-care? What can we learn from Silver and her connected colleagues?
I will tell you, it took COVID to get me to take better care of myself. And so, and Keisha and I have talked about this. I was hitting Delta Diamond by March of every year at LEGA, which means you've already gone hundreds of thousands of miles and, you know, 7.5 weeks a year in Denmark and Russia and China and amazing, visiting schools all around the world. But I was also responsible for all the U.S. And so I've lived on an airplane for probably over 20 years and at a very high pace. And I think when you're central within especially a growing organization and you're out there with the customers, it just sort of amplifies itself and it becomes not addictive, but it becomes very much a way of life where you, I remember when I lived in New York at one point, I was considering just putting my stuff in storage because I'd be gone for so many weeks at a time. I was like, I might as well save on an apartment. COVID was the first time I personally have ever slowed down probably my entire life, definitely my adult life in a meaningful way. And it was like ground stop immediate. And I had by chance had actually resigned from LEGO in December of 2019. I can't get my years straight anymore.
Yeah.
In 2019, and I stayed on until June. And so we didn't announce it globally until I think it was March 25th, which was a few weeks into COVID. I'd already had everyone in the U.S., you know, stay home, no more travel. And I ended up moving back to California and joining Hazel. But it was the first time I've actually been still. And I feel like when you're still is also when things come to the surface. And so I definitely had the early few months of COVID that we all did that were just wondering what in the world was going on and also like way off balance. But I ended up doing a lot of interesting like self-development courses. I got really, really into hot yoga. I got into revisited things I used to love, like writing and art. Got a dog for the first time in my adult life, which felt like, you know, something, a very big responsibility at the time. And I also just got to enjoy like being in Marin and hiking and, you know, seeing friends socially distant and all of that. But I feel like I regrounded myself and it gave me an appreciation that I would not have ever been able to get to otherwise. I think I would have lived the rest of my life exactly the same way. And I shared with Keisha that one particular course I did was with a woman called Sherry Salata. And she was the executive producer for Oprah for 20 years. And she has this really interesting writing course. She also has a podcast. Really interesting writing course on reframing your life. And it's all about like excavating, being vulnerable, going through whatever your shame secrets are, sharing this in a community. My group happened to be all women, about 75 women globally. And we met twice a week on Zoom for a couple of hours. And Sherry just took us through this full like process. And where people were in the beginning versus where we were at the end of the 3.5 months was just completely transformational. And people were glowing and people had let go of so much. And I think it's important to do those bigger deep dives that you know are going to be a little bit painful, but you'll come out better in terms of self-care, as well as the little practices that you can build on that build up for a healthier, happier, you know, more productive you as well.
I was super excited to hear about you getting a dog. And you were super excited to get a dog. I mean, that's like a big thing. But work had consumed, I mean, not consumed, but
it consumed
I think
forever.
As women, yeah, I think as women that happens to us, right? Because you're like, if I take my eye off the prize, somebody's going to get ahead of me. It's like, there's always this jockeying thing. And, you know, God forbid it's a man, but there's a competition, and that competition, sometimes it's internal with yourself, but many times it's kind of external. There really are people kind of jockeying for, and so you can't take your eye off of it and you give up a lot in the process. And we talk about that a lot on this show because, you know, I've personally given up a lot. Francis has given up a lot. You've given up a lot, and we still feel like we're strong, you know, super capable, amazing, hot women, but I'm not as hot as I used to be. I'm going to lay that out there. But we also feel like we might have missed out on something. So I just, you know, reflect on that I praise you for taking COVID to be that reflective and to do that work, because I know it's not easy. And you know, you told me about that course. It sounds super amazing. Our listeners, I'm sure, are going to go Google it right now and try to get in.
I'll be happy to share it.
You know, and for getting a dog. Because that was a big, big decision for you.
Well, Keisha was pushing me on the baby child friend. We'll see what happens But I started with a dog.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible. It's absolutely true.
I did say you can't have children until you've had a dog. I'll say, let me tell this little fun story. When my husband and I started dating, we got a plant because my mom was like, your relationship will only grow as strong as this plant will grow. And so for 36 years, we've had this plant. It's starting to die. My husband freaked out. He's like, oh my God, the plant's dying. Like, if we can revive it. He's like, we've got to get fertilizer.
So how's it doing now?
It's doing pretty good. It's got 3 new sprouts to it. So I think it's going to make it.
Okay. I like it.
But that plant is probably going to go down in a coffin with one of us.
I think it's a sign of siblings to come. There you go.
Yeah. I think Ella's going to have it till she has grandchildren. So there you go.
Yes, that's true. We'll just pass it on. Don't let the plant die. It'll be like sourdough starter.
Yes.
Just pass it on.
Exactly.
All right, now we'll have some center starters for you, and all you have to do is
sourdough starters.
They're not sourdough starters. No, they're scented starters, and they're gonna be better than sourdough bread, less calories. An event that changed my worldview.
9/11. I lived in New York during 9/11. I was with that awesome first startup that I shared, and we lived kind of in a Midtown area, but going out that morning and just seeing all the people walking up like north basically in droves and covered in the white soot and seeing the smoke come out of the buildings. And we had a fire department right behind us, and they were just, oh my gosh, it was just like days and days and days of these people just going right back to the scene, trying to get their brothers or whatever it might be. I remember the first night we were in a bar, of course, across a pub across the street. And on the news, they were saying that it hadn't really been quantified yet, but it felt a little bit downplayed, where we were watching just miles and miles and miles of morgue trucks already like lined up down the entire street, taking all, you know, three or four lanes. And so that plus the, you know, the global response, and the leader of our company at the time, Jeff Dachis, he found we did lose a couple of our coworkers in it. And for those of us who were safe, he found everybody through, I think it was AOL Instant Messenger back in the day, and was like messaging all of us as he, you know, found the people and how we were confirming that people were all right. But I think the juxtaposition of all of that, like the passion, the fear, there were posters all over New York City of people looking for loved ones, and it was just crushing.
I think so many of us remember that morning and the aftermath. And again, so many lessons learned from that, right? Love, passion, the ability to go into fear and to be, to bring people to a safe place too. Lots of powerful reflections on that. Thank you, Silver. You know, I have another sentence starter too. I don't know after that reflection.
I can do a happy one. I can do it.
Stronger person after. And again, stronger because we know you're already incredibly strong.
I think I'm a stronger person after letting myself be more vulnerable. So through COVID and that whole process we talked about, I think, and I say that knowing COVID has been horrific on a global basis and people have lost so much across every spectrum. But I think that through my personal experience with COVID and the things that I chose to focus on, it made me come out being a lot more vulnerable and a lot more, I'd say balanced, if I dare say balanced. but that's what I would say. I was stronger after being able to show more vulnerability.
My life improved when I
met Keisha.
Oh, right.
My life improved when I started to be much more open about my own story. So I am one of the women that's in Kathy Hurley's most current book on purpose-driven leaders. And I had a rockier childhood and lost both parents pretty young. And it's something I didn't share for a long time. And over the last couple of years, I've been much more open about my story and being able to share. Many more people have come forward and wanted to. It's just led to some really great conversations. And it's also let me have a lot more peace within my overall view of myself and confidence in myself, of just letting my whole self be seen more.
I love that you share that, Silver, because I think one of the things that we found was so powerful about this podcast is that the questions we ask are about vulnerabilities. And so often as females in this space, the story behind who we are doesn't always get shared. So I thank you for marking the importance of being vulnerable and also the beauty of the space that we get to when we can tell our true authentic stories. It's just, I know we've all been through that and having those courageous moments, but they also lift up so many that we support. Final question for you. A decision that changed your life, and it can't be the puppy because we already talked about the dog. But, a decision that changed your life.
There were two. When my mom passed away in Hawaii, it was really public, and it was when I was only 16 and things were kind of chaotic, but I chose to move to the mainland at that time. And I feel like it gave me a different trajectory for where my career could go. Also in Hawaii, I was, you know, one of very few Caucasians at the time. It was just a whole different experience to grow up like on the other side of racism and everything. And I feel like moving to the mainland, it just opened up doors for me in a new way. Although when I go back to Hawaii and, you know, meet with people at the DOE and stuff too, it's amazing because they actually remember my mom being one of the teachers and me even being a student. So that's been incredible. And it's been nice to take great things back to Hawaii and help the district there. The other one I would say would be, it sounds so silly, but getting my MBA at Kellogg, I feel like taking the time to get those additional degrees changes your trajectory. It becomes part of what people lead with when they introduce you into public forums. It takes away uncertainty if you're being interviewed for a position. And so I think spending that extra time and investment catapults your career so much more quickly than you would realize and was absolutely worth it for me.
Thank you so much, Silver. You know, I have learned so much in this short amount of time with you, starting with your vision and your practice around equity to how you find balance in getting regrounded and being ultimately vulnerable in your story. And so, you know, because Keisha knows you so well, I love to put her on the spot. I think this is her favorite part sometimes, where I ask her for her reflections on what she's actually learned today. So Keisha, I'm sending it over to you because, you know, you were lifted up as this mentor and this mirror and this model of silver. So what might you reflect back to her?
And I'm younger, so that's really astonishing to me. It's not true. First of all, I've seen Silver grow in her career and almost at the peril of her personal life because her career has been so incredibly robust. And so I was excited when she got a dog. I was super excited because to me it meant settle down, you know, family. Dogs are family. You know, it meant roots. And it meant no more thinking about putting all your stuff in a storage so that you can just fly all over the place. It meant permanency. What impresses me so much is, and Silver, there is a thing that we have on here that sometimes I cry. And this will be one of those. Because one of my deepest fears for Ella is she will live most of her life without parents. And you have had to do that. And the amazing woman that you are and that you've become absent that support structure tells me that Ella's going to be okay. And she's got you as a godmother, of course, but just knowing that your parents instilled in you things that you still draw on, you still pull on. They're still very much core to your being. And you are a phenomenal leader. You're a phenomenal representative of the education space and of children. There's not any situation I've been in with you where children aren't at the center of your cause, no matter what. And I just, you give me hope for my daughter. You give me hope for our future and you give me peace in my heart because you are such a brilliant and beautiful soul and you exist on this planet with us.
Keisha, you mean that's my morning cry. That was beautiful. Thank you so, so, so much. That was very sweet.
I
love you too.
So Silver, I'm wondering since I've laid all that on you.
What I think of you.
What? Yeah. Well, no. What might you tell Ella? What would your message be for Ella?
Oh, Ella is such a lucky, beautiful, beautiful little soul. And I'm so excited for her future. And I would just say she has so much fun and joy and wonder ahead of her. And it's all going to be okay. And there are hard times, but I think it's really important to make sure you have fun along the way. So
I'm seeing those beautiful words being printed and maybe put on a canvas in a really important space to wake up to each and every day. Your wisdom, the love as a godmother, the love of motherhood has been shared. And also just like your love for community and centering, as you said earlier, children. It comes through loud and clear. And as we think about what our listeners might be reflecting on as a result, we have one of those coaching questions, Keisha, that keeps them really in that space. And so in honor of Silver and what she has shared today and will continue to share as we think about this podcast, today's question is, how might you take deep dives and engage in little practices for a more productive you? Again, how might you take deep dives and engage in little practices for a more productive you?
We cannot thank you enough for being with us today and spending a little bit of your time with us, sharing your incredible story and your wisdom, your encouragement. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I absolutely loved it.
Absolutely. And we want you to know, our listening audience, that we appreciate you. Go out and practice some of that vulnerability, get regrounded, and make sure you put those earbuds in and go for a walk and think about how you can share this journey with others. So thank you again for your inspired message.
Don't forget to join us for our next podcast right here, where we're going to highlight another Shiro in education. Please don't forget to follow our hashtag TLHonorRoll, R-O-L-E, and post your response to that coaching question. Until then,
be fierce
and be formidable.
The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is produced by Keisha Ray, Francis Gibson, and Christine Weiser. Audio production by Mitchell Tulin and AV Nation. Tech and Learning's Honor Roll theme music is by Madison Van Gundy. Find more episodes on techlearning.com and follow us at hashtag TL Honor Roll. That's TL Honor, R-O-L-E.